This is Leanne.
And this is Mandy.
And you're listening to Blind Sleuths. I feel like I haven't done this in a long time. Like, I feel...
I know.
In a minute. This is episode 24. And tonight, I'm going a little bit out of my comfort zone. I'm going to tell a story about murder, mystery, and paranormal phenomenon.
I'm supposed to be doing this story.
But it's a very popular story and everybody knows about it. You know about it. And mostly what I want to do is for us to talk about it. When I listened to a podcast about it a little while back and I was listening to it, thinking, I know all this. I know all this. And then the last episode, I was like, I didn't really know all of this. And basically what it did was debunk the whole thing. And it made me so happy.
What did?
The information that I learned in the last episode.
Okay.
So this is about a house at 112 Ocean Drive in Amityville, New York. The Amityville Horror House.
I watched something on it. It's fuzzy. So anyway, okay. Go ahead and tell me about it. Because I mean, I don't remember my exact thoughts on it.
Okay. Amityville Horror House was built like in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was built, sold and all that.
Where is it located?
In Amityville, New York. Near Long Island.
Yeah. Because I knew it was like outside of New York.
And it's on the water. It's a beautiful house.
Like on the bay?
Like a colonial style or whatever.
Or it's just on the water. Okay.
It's just on the water. I'm not sure what volume.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and some terrible things happened in that house for sure.
Okay.
On November 13th, 1974, Ronald DeFeo Jr., who was 23 at the time, called the police and said that he had just come home and found his entire family shot. Okay. So that was six people. His dad, Ronald Sr., his mom, Louise, his sister Dawn, who was 18, sister Allison was 13, Mark 12, and John 9. So he was the oldest. They all died. Or at this time, he's saying that must have been an intruder that he had been.
Yeah.
So he's like, so I killed my whole family. They were all found in their beds, face down, mm-hmm. and they each have been shot in the head with a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty gruesome. Anyway, so turns out Ronald DeFeo shot his whole family. So that comes out. That's not any big secret. And at the time, nobody knew why. He was a pretty quiet kid, but he had problems with drugs and things like that. So slaughtered his whole family. So of course, the house goes up for sale. And yeah, he's in prison. He gets sentenced to a life sentence for consecutive life sentences for everybody. So that was in 1974. On December 18th, 1975, George and Kathy Lutz.
A year later.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
George and Kathy Lutz, along with their three kids, actually Kathleen's kids from a previous marriage, Daniel, Missy, and Christopher, moved into the house. It was disclosed to them that the weird thing about them buying the house is that they kept most of the furniture, including the beds.
Yes.
Including the beds that, for sure, I know the ones in the children's rooms. So these kids had to sleep in these beds. They kept a whole lot of the other furniture, too.
Okay, I can understand the furniture. I mean, I still can't understand it, but I can understand the furniture, but not the beds.
Yeah, they kept the beds.
You would think that's
totally just okay with,
oh my
God. You know, whatever. And according to, I guess, Daniel, who was the oldest, I think he was 10 at the time, so none of them were very old. It's time to move in, and his mom was like, hey, just so y'all know, the whole family got murdered here, but we're moving in, okay? He's like,
because they got a good deal on the house.
Yeah, like 8,000. Yeah,
I think a really good deal.
That kind of thing back then. I do not remember all these details, but that. Huge house, $8,000, boathouse, all this stuff. Yeah. But it turns out that George Lutz was a little bit of a weirdo. So I'll get into that in a minute. So they move in December. And immediately they start experiencing all of this paranormal phenomenon, and not like just a ghost running by. Like they're saying that all these things, terrible things are happening in their house. Like green slime is running down the walls. And then they had a priest come in to bless the house, right?
Okay. It just came back to me. Sorry. It's the podcast of Donnie Wahlberg's The Narrative.
Yeah.
I listened to it months ago.
Yeah.
Okay. But I've already forgotten the part of it. What is it?
I did not forget because I thought, well, first of all, it was Donnie Wahlberg.
No, I know. He did a really good job.
It's not that favorite in AOTB.
But go back and listen to it. What's the name of it? Very Scary People.
Very Scary People. Yes. It's so good. And he did a really good job on it.
It did.
But I mean, and I hate to say that at first. I was like, no. But I mean, I knew because I've watched,
Or we've already known it. Okay, go ahead.
I watched the original Loomy. I watched the remake with Ryan Reynolds. They're pretty similar. They're a little jazzed up for effect with some of the stuff. But a lot of it is exactly what Georgie, Kathleen Lutz, described happened.
Okay.
So they're seeing green slime on the wall.
Okay.
The daughter, Missy, has apparently made a new imaginary friend that she calls Jody.
Which is one of the kids?
No.
We don't know.
She just called her Jody. I don't know. And let's see. George Lutz says that every night since they moved in, he's been awoken at 3:15 in the morning every single day.
Okay.
Which is about the time that the murders happened with the DeFeos. That they're guessing around the time that it happened. The kids' beds are slamming up and down, hitting the ceiling, and I'm trying to think. It's just so, I mean, it's like every single thing that somebody could say would happen if their house was haunted apparently happened to them. They only lived there for 28 days.
Okay.
And then they left. So Kathleen says that she looked in the mirror one day, and she was the old woman in the mirror. I mean, it's really kind of outlandish, just... And you know me, I'm like,
sure you did.
Skeptic for sure.
Sure you did. Were you thinking that while you were listening to it?
Well, so I don't know. Like watching the movies and stuff, I really didn't know much beyond that they just lived there 28 days and for all this stuff and whatever. I didn't think much about it after that, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was scary. It was creepy. But then when I listened to him and then I started kind of reading about it, I was like, oh, that. Now it makes sense. It's all a bunch of crap.
Okay.
So.
But if it's a bunch of crap, well, they only live there 28 days.
Well, hold on. I'm going to get to that.
Okay. I'm sorry because I can't remember.
Yeah. They also reported that the window came down and smashed their fingers and their hands were all mangled up and then they were okay again. That sounds more like magic to me than
anything else.
And then the garage door was like slamming up and down in the middle of the day. A dog trying to hang itself with its own leash. I'm like,
God.
And if you look at the picture of the house, there's houses on both sides. I feel like the neighbors would have been like, what's all that noise going on out there? I mean, all these people are
happy.
Now, it is odd, I think, that when Ronald DeFeo shot his entire family, that nobody heard gunshots. The only thing he may have reported was hearing the dog bark. But still,
that's neither here nor there.
Did they say, I'm sorry, did you go back, but did they say, I know he was found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
It took him a little while for him to found guilty. But what was his motive? And nobody really knows.
Okay, there was it just that he, it was something
like he was trying to say that it was a mob hit on his dad. And then he said that
he tried to say that one of the sisters did it.
I don't really know.
I think he said something about his sister did it. I thought that was the case where they get all mixed up, all these cases. It wasn't the one where he said his sister did it and then he had to kill her because she killed the parent.
I don't think so.
Okay. Maybe it wasn't. I listened to so many podcasts.
I don't think so. I don't remember if that. But he said like a mob hit. And then he said he did it because the parent were abusive.
I remember that. It's coming back.
But it really, it just boiled down to he was a heroin addict.
Okay.
And an alcoholic. And I think he just had like a bad trip and just killed everybody.
Okay.
It was a little off.
Sorry. Continue on to the.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yes. I kind of had to refresh my mind.
So all these things there were for you going on in this house. Oh, so they hired a priest to come in and bless the house. Well, this priest apparently says that when he goes in, he's going to go in and bless the sewing room, which I think was either Marv or John's room, that the DeFeo kid, one of the DeFeo kids that now Kathleen does her sewing in. So he goes in this room, not sure why this particular room they wanted to bless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could have picked any one of the kids.
I mean, that stuff was happening in there.
But, well, and it all goes back to just, it's, his story changed several times. Like, he was there and then he moved in, and then it was a couple of weeks later. Yeah, the priest's story changed multiple times on when he actually came in and did this. So he says he goes into the room, and it's unseasonably cold in there. And then he hears a voice behind him that says, get out. And then all these, like, thousands of flies fly out and attack his face. And
pretty sure it's like, sounds like a movie like that.
Yeah, I think he saw that on something.
Yeah.
Like, and you're making this up. And I feel bad. He's a man of the cloth. But
yeah,
it just sounds a little far-fetched.
All of it, really.
Because all he needs to follow, none of the neighbors hear it.
Okay. Wasn't there a book written by one of them?
Yes.
Whole
other author.
Okay.
That wrote a book. Okay. All this stuff is happening. There's being tormented by whatever is in this house. So 28 days goes by and they just leave. Like, just get out.
Which I think is odd, especially as they're faking it all. But
the house gets foreclosed on.
Okay.
And all this. So.
So they couldn't afford it to begin with.
No, because he was like a surveyor, I guess. I don't think she worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was a contractor too. And I think they were already in like financial trouble. Like, tax issues and that kind of stuff. So I think that he was looking for a way out. And when all this happens, And then, of course, the Lexans are going on the news and stuff like that. And so DeFeo's attorney, Will Weber, actually tries to use that as a defense to get Ronald DeFeo Jr. off for the murder of him.
Possibly insanity.
Okay. So yeah,
he goes back. He's
okay. And this
is haunted. See what's happening here?
He was possessed by a demon.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
This is what's happening. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Eventually, Ronald DeFeo Jr. said, the only evil in that house was me. I just killed my family.
Once he's sober and all that.
Period.
Like, I did it.
But this William Weber, his attorney, starts really talking a lot about how these things came about. So he apparently had a relationship with Lutz, okay? So with George Lutz, that they actually had met.
Had a relationship.
Like friend.
Okay.
Yeah, that they actually met. And so William Weber dude comes out and says, hey, this was all a hoax. Like, this was not real. We conjured this up to try and make money. And
conjured.
Yeah.
Well, that comes in too.
Yeah, because like shortly after the fans moved out, they like all these paranormal psychologists and people started coming in. And two of those, speaking of conjuring, was Ed and Lorraine Warren. Do you know who that is? They're the ones who did the conjuring. They're like the big para.
Like, I remember that. Yeah, they were like a couple that did paranormal stuff together.
Yes.
Okay.
So their best ones are the conjuring, like the conjuring, the movies.
So the movies were based on their work or what they did, their experiences.
So they go in and all these people. So they also invited like one of the original like local reporters that was like on the scene the night the DeFeos were murdered, invited him to come in to like where they're having a seance.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Seance. And he's saying that like all these people are like arriving and all this stuff and freaking out. But he said, I never saw a thing. Like, nothing weird happened when I was in there.
The reporter said that.
The reporter said that, yes. So the Lutzes basically made a ton of money off this.
Like, yeah.
The guy that wrote the book.
Who wrote the book, though?
I think 80-something.
No, sorry. I'm saying, how was he related to them?
Oh, they paid. He paid for their story.
Okay.
So they made money off the book. They made money off of the movies. They've made money off of merchandise.
But when did somebody say it was full of hooky? And
people still say it's full of crap. The first person who said it was the William Weber guy who came out in 19, like, right after they moved out of the house and said,
He was their lawyer or their friend?
He was DeFeo's lawyer.
DeFeo's
lawyer. The one that's the murderer's lawyer.
Yeah, so he was defending DeFeo using that as an excuse.
Yeah, and then finally said, you know what, screw it. This is all a bunch of crap.
But did he know for sure it was a bunch of crap?
No, nobody really knows for sure. Okay, so nobody really
I know for sure.
I know.
I can remember the last episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
Debunking.
Yes.
I remember that. But what I was asking you to refresh my memory of why it was debunked.
Yeah. So with that, and then there was another reporter, like a local reporter, who at first was a little skeptical, thought that maybe there was some validity to it because, I mean, just the random things happened. Like the night that he went. When the night the DeFeos were murdered, right, he goes out on the scene. He comes back home and his cat died.
Okay.
And then he was going to do a radio interview with the Weber guy, the attorney. And then that night, like, his wife died.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like, every time I get ready to do something with this Amityville house, something tragic happens. But then in the end, he said, it's just, I mean, there's not enough evidence to support any of it. And so two of the Missy Lutz, the daughter, nobody knows where she is. Christopher Lutz has come out and said, it's not true. But George was into the occult.
Okay.
He tried to like conjure them.
Conjure like parents up.
Yes. Like he, and which is probably why he was okay with the furniture and the beds and all the creepiness staying in the house. Because he was real into the whole satanic occult stuff anyway.
Wow.
And if you ever hear he and Kathleen, if you go back and watch their interviews, they're some creepy people.
Yeah.
Like she's very like,
And she really. So they were like definitely okay living there and buying the
house. Yes. I think that they wanted something.
Okay. What if the plan is to hide it to happen? Because
I do think before Christopher, nothing ever happened.
The
youngest brother. Okay. So then you ask Daniel, the oldest brother now, who has done an entire show called My Amityville Horror, like a interview. And to listen to that is like, what in the world?
What does he say? I didn't hear that.
He is, well, so he's talking to like a therapist girl, and he's telling like his account of the things that happened are so, they're all similar to what George and Kathleen Lutz described, but his are way blown out of proportion, like way blown overboard. Like he makes it all kinds of stuff, but he also says that George was controlling, that, you know, he abused them. And of course, his idea of abuse was, he said, I mean, he used to fall around the house with a wooden spoon and make us do whatever. I'm like, that's not really abuse.
Pretty sure that's what everybody
yeah,
did. In our day, not now.
To him, he just, he's very belligerent in the thing. He kind of yells at the girl a little bit and she's like, whoa. But his account of all this that happened is vastly different than even the weird stuff that George and Kathleen reported.
Yeah.
But
he put a fan on it or made it.
Oh, bit. Yeah. He totally
fluffed it up.
Yeah, totally fluffed it. But the biggest thing is that this house was built in like 1925. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't buy it until 1975. Nobody ever reported anything weird happening there. But of course, there had not been, you know, a mass murder in the house. Okay. They lived there for 28 days. The house has been bought and sold many times over since then. Nobody
has ever reported
anything else happening in the house.
Okay.
Nobody. I was trying to find somebody who said
that's what I was saying.
It was like, I mean, even to say that the air was thick, anything.
Yeah.
But everybody's like, nope, go in there. Windows are up. Not even a breeze blows. Like, there's not even a hint of creepiness.
Because some people still live in it now.
Oh, yeah.
I think I read
that. Changed the address.
Like, 108. Yes, that's what I
But apparently it hasn't helped. Like, people are still obsessed with it. And so when I was doing my research, I would venture to say that more people believe it's true than don't believe it's true.
Well, I mean, with all the movies and everything, that's probably why they think it's true. Until they really get down to the bottom of it and they see.
Now, is it a good story?
Yes. Yeah, it's a good story for sure.
I was really hoping that you would remember it because I wanted you to prove me wrong.
Well, I'm not 100% thinking that there wasn't something sinister, like they say, more to it or something creepy. I mean, I definitely, or paranormal, I don't know. I mean, maybe they did conjure it up, but wait, it would have happened before. Okay, so
yeah,
maybe they did get it all stirred up, you know?
I think it's so.
And then after they left, maybe that they were, you know, maybe they took it with them. I don't know. Maybe they took the bad
evil
they've ever sent up, ever.
But why would the family be bad? They didn't do anything. It was the guy that was so
bad. They didn't do anything wrong.
No, they didn't. It wasn't like a lot of things
they wouldn't go after them for anything.
No.
I mean, and if he conjured some, you know, demon through the portal of hell up into that house or whatever,
it went with him.
I don't understand.
But I'm like, while he lived there 28 days, if it was their dream house and it was so great and it was so wonderful and they're making money off of it, why did it not stay there? Just because they couldn't afford it and they foreclosed on
things. And that's the thing, is that he was trying to figure out a way to get out from under that mortgage and not afford
it. Okay, that's what it
was. And make money so that he could afford to start over somewhere else. Because that was his whole motive behind the whole thing. According to Will Webster, Ronald Jr.'s attorney.
Yeah.
That they became friends and they conjured up this whole thing.
Well, because he's like,
that's lying. That's what he said.
Oh, which kind of makes a lot of sense because he's like, I can, you know, I made up in my head.
Yeah.
So we come up with this plan and then I can get my client off and I'll look like,
we'll work together to do this.
Why would you get your client
make
off?
A bunch of money?
If he did that, that's what I don't understand.
Or I guess because it makes you look good.
Like, I guess
if that attorney, like, oh, I'm going to get you. And you got the guy off that killed his whole family, you can get me off.
Absolutely. When I just shot one person or something,
I had it.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess,
you know, I love the paranormal and I love, you know, UFOs and Bigfoot and all that. But what one thing that I don't really freak with, what I don't freak with is evil spirit stuff. So I guess it's just like, I would rather it not be true because I don't like the whole evil, you know, I'm into like Casper type friendly ghost. I just don't really.
I think that I did read somewhere that Missy's imaginary friend Jody was actually nice.
Okay.
Like she didn't bother anybody.
Okay.
But I don't think she was a ghost. I think Missy was just a kid that had an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I kind of think imaginary friends are ghosts that people like see because kids have like a sixth sense that we lose when we get older. And sometimes I think imaginary friends are like ghost friends that just hang out around the kids and they're like, here's my friend, let's eat dinner too. Because they actually see him, but the parents don't.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Yeah.
Even though I never had an imagination. Thank goodness. And my kids didn't either.
My kid did not have an imaginary friend, not that I know of. He probably wouldn't have told me anyway, because I would have been like, no, you don't.
Yeah, you would have said that.
No, that
actually really freaked
out. Not in my house.
Yeah, I would have been really.
But I was really, because it never occurred to me that, I think I never thought, I mean, I was always a little skeptical of this stuff, but I never put it together that he could have done it for monetary gain.
Yeah.
Like, I never put it together that he got money from the book and he got money from, I mean, the original movie, like the first one, grossed like $80 million worldwide, which doesn't look like a lot of money.
But that was
in 1979.
Oh, 79.
79 is when the original one came out, yes.
And then they're remaking 2005 with Ryan Reynolds.
That's what I thought they did.
It could be my demon any day.
Well, so they're saying, because I'm like, it is weird to me that even if you're in a financial end of your head, you don't usually figure it out the first 28 days. You are not, you haven't even made the second
going in.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I think they thought it was a dream home. I don't know. Maybe something did happen, but I would definitely want to get out in 28 days. I don't care about, but his next mortgage payment hasn't even happened yet. But unless it was the whole plan from the beginning, and that's why they kept everything.
Maybe. I mean, that's why they thought it was, I mean, they never questioned him in there.
Okay. I just don't think that demon that's going to do all that, like green stuff on the walls and slamming the bib, is going to stop.
Still don't know why nobody went to the neighbor. Like,
yeah.
Hey. Oh, God. My bed slamming against the wall, or hey, my garage walls quit opening and closing. I just don't know why. I mean, like, none of the neighbors ever noticed anything odd.
Or I think if they moved out after 28 days, they had to know all the front end.
Something.
But it was a nice house, so I could see why they wanted. It's like, you know, they've got a Brady Bunch type situation or whatever, and they want to, you know, have a nice house.
So I don't think it was the Brady Bunch.
Well, according to Daniel,
you ever like Bunch? According to Daniel Lutz, like George adopted all of them.
Oh, okay.
And he made them all get new social security numbers and all kinds of stuff to like be his.
Okay.
Like, wouldn't even let him just have a name change. Like, he wanted the whole thing. But this is also according to Daniel, who lives in Queens now.
Yeah.
Ron DeFeo Jr. just died, like, in 2021, I think.
He didn't get death penalty?
Mm-mm.
It's crazy.
No.
I mean, it's crazy that he didn't back then, because I thought back then
Mm-mm. It
was more.
He did not get the death penalty. And, you know, like I said, Christopher says it was all not true.
You know? George was just nuts.
Which one's Christopher?
The youngest son.
Yeah, Lutz's son.
Yes, yes. Okay.
And then nobody knows where Missy is.
Okay. She probably didn't want
anything.
Oh, I'm sure she probably changed her name.
Probably changed her. Well, she got married.
Yeah, she probably changed all of it. Like, she's probably not Missy anymore.
Yeah, I know. Because that's crazy. Because he's the one that made all the money, the dad.
Yes.
Because it was his story.
Yes. He and his
wife together. Yeah.
Well,
I want to believe that one's not true, because I don't like all that.
But it's people demon. I mean, it's been so long and people still believe it. They still have.
I think people believe what they want to believe. It's a good, scary, fun story. You know?
Funny?
Well, okay. It's a it's
fun to talk about.
And it's fun to be
scared. I think
it's fun to be scared. Like, that's why they go to scary movies.
Yes.
It's not fun to be
scared.
You're really in
face dread. Everything has not helped. Like they said, people still ride by and take pictures and, you know, all that.
You know, that would just be too much.
There is a pretty house, though.
Yeah.
I mean, and especially now, it looks totally different now than it did, like, when the movie was made.
Yeah.
Because they probably, when the murder sound.
I wonder when the first movie was made, they probably, like, took a picture of the real house. And I didn't see the first movie. Not that I remember.
I think it wasn't filmed there. It was filmed somewhere else. The movie.
I remember. Yeah. Like the movie cover at the movie theater at like movie gallery or whatever, like the cover of the movie, it just scared me.
The house was scary as crap.
Yeah.
It looked like it had eyes at the top.
Yeah. And they redid it since then.
Yeah. They've redone it. It's really pretty now.
Well, I am not going to not agree with you on this, because I do not want it to be true, because I don't like any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't think those people would have just turned bad because they were murdered by their brother and son. You know?
Yeah. I really didn't think about that part, actually.
Yeah.
I think there's not bad people, like bad spirits. I just thought that George and Kathleen were full of it.
Yeah.
So bad for their kids. They were subjected to that.
There's so much stuff people do to their kids. I mean, like subject them to, it's like, maybe that's not the worst thing in the world, but you know, things people subject their kids to, because, you know, people are just people, I guess.
I guess it could have focused more on why Ronald DeFeo Jr. thought it was okay to kill his whole family.
I don't know.
There was a lot of questions about that, too. Like, how did he kill all of them? Was he by himself? Because they were all found with a single gunshot wound.
Well, because why didn't he hear other?
Yeah.
Unless
there were no drugs.
Now he had a silencer.
He didn't drug them. There was no silencer on the gun. They found the gun. There were no drugs in their bodies. So, I mean, how, like, who did he kill first if the others didn't wake up in the house and they heard a rifle go off?
That's right.
Why didn't they wake up?
If they thought it was in the middle of the night. So, yeah.
And very
different. Going to sound really bad. I don't know why I put this much thought into it.
But he could have, like, you know, shot, like, the mom or the dad. And when none of them woke up, he'd be like, lay down. And then shot them. And then if the kids woke up, like, at gunpoint, made them lay back down on their stomachs. You know what I mean?
You know.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes, made them lay down. He didn't just go from room to room. He kind of held them up. With the gun. That actually probably makes the most sense of how it actually,
or how it happened. I was a little disturbed with myself for thinking that even that kind of.
No, that's, I mean, I think you've got to use your common sense and think logically, like, okay,
how did he pull that off?
No, not you, but how did he do that?
Yeah, that's really the only way.
How did he think
he had any help?
I didn't think about it. The way you just said it makes so much sense.
Because they were, I was just so baffled that they were all found in the same position in their bed. Like, as if they had all been asleep.
So that's what fueled the fire on this whole movies and book and all that, and everybody fall for it, because that was strange.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, just that he snapped. They all seems kind of nice. I mean,
okay, but that, they snapped too.
Yeah.
He was not a nice kid.
He was a nice kid. He had some trouble, like, with drugs and stuff like that. And I think the parents let him back in the house.
I don't know if they regret that now, but
I think helped him get back on his feet.
Well, you definitely have mental illness if you... But there's more to it than just drugs.
23 in the 70s, you should really, you know, have a family and a steady job.
Well, like it is now.
Yeah, it's not like it is now.
Mm-hmm. But there was definitely more to it. And, you know, it's just, I don't think it was a demon, but I think that it's very odd.
I think that the oddness is what has intrigued people. And that's what made them believe that it was possessed, or that he was possessed from the house.
And like you said, though, you're... argument's pretty dang good, though. All the years that have people lived in there since.
Yeah.
And nothing that happened.
Nothing.
If it was that strong of a presence, I mean, think about the...
Like, no slow buildup. Like, it's first day.
Boom.
I mean, I'm here.
And all the other things that I watch or read, yeah. They pretty much...
And just all of them
go away.
It all sounded very far-fetched.
Maybe somebody saved the house.
Like, everything that's happened in a horror movie happened to them.
Okay. Well, what if someone... like, push the demon out. One of those, like, or the bad ghost, one of those things, or one of that, you know, before everybody, they saged it, and they did all these things, and they pushed them out. And they're home.
Okay, so that's the episode.
I meant for the next.
For the next. Oh, you mean, like, the people that did the seance?
Yes!
For the next, see, they ran them out?
What if they did? They say that call spirits are like, you can cross over. You can.
What's her name? Loretta or Lorraine?
And they saged them.
I don't believe them.
Sage is supposed to take it away for the bad, evil spirits.
I don't believe that Lorraine and her husband are really
whatever.
But according to her, like, she said that she had never felt hell. Like, she felt Lorraine was
Lorraine, the people that
paranormal psychologist, whatever that.
Okay.
Means. Okay.
So that's what she is.
That she had never wanted to experience the hell that she felt when she walked into that sewing room. I don't even know which kid's room that was.
Yeah.
Sewing room. But.
Just one of them.
Now, there was a weird thing. Like, there was a picture that somebody took, like, that night.
Mm-hmm.
And it had, like, a little boy in the picture or something.
I know they didn't have Photoshop in the 70s.
So that was a little bit odd.
You mean of the house?
Yeah, like, the inside of the house. The night they did the seance.
Like, it's movement in a baby thing?
A little bit, yeah. It wasn't peeping out from behind.
That creeps me out even
now. It actually, and you know, I don't believe in any of that, but I'm watching it thinking, I don't watch anymore.
That could have been so many things, though, really. But that was so weird. Anyway.
Today, I think it was just somebody's kid on the set. They just hidden right there.
You think? Yeah, I thought it was like a cardboard cutout.
I think it was a ghost toy, but at the time, it freaked me out. But anyway, yes, sort of like a 3 men and a baby.
Google it, kids. This day, it was the first movie, right?
Yes, the first one.
You can see the ghost boy.
Ghost boy.
3 men and a baby.
I thought
that. So random.
But yeah, yes, kind of like that.
Okay.
So that was a little odd because there are apparently no children in the house and no animals and nothing like that. But it is the silhouette of like a boy. Or a picture of a boy.
Huh.
That this Lorraine girl had.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there was something to do it. And they just ran them all.
Maybe. Maybe so. I just think that people are full of crap. And it's something we feel you know, I just was really intrigued by the whole thing because it never occurred to me that people would do something so elaborate just to make money.
Yeah.
Still making money.
That's right.
Still get money from the movie.
I don't know.
Like if I rented Amityville Horror today, does somebody in that family get royalties? It doesn't look like Daniel's getting a whole lot of anything.
Yeah. not that I don't, you know, we all have anxiety, you know, that I'm not talking bad about mental health because we'll get bad emails.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's my rant. That's my story. And I kind of enjoy talking about it a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. It really is. And I like that you talk about, you know, something that has a little twist of paranormal in it. Something I'm interested in. We may, you know, I may start doing another, we may start doing a little mystery episode in between the true crimes.
True crime next time.
Yes.
I'm a little more comfortable with that. Anyway, please make sure you go and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And like us.
Subscribe, Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify, Amazon.
Are we on Amazon?
I think it was Amazon. We were on Amazon something.
Yeah,
just look at- I just listen usually on Apple Music.
Yeah, we do.
I do have like one or two on Spotify, but sometimes I forget to get on there. I'm like, I gotta go to Spotify.
I don't know how to use Spotify. Anyway. All right. We'll be back next week.
Bye-bye.